Today I got an email or a private message on the internet by somebody that had known me in some time, years gone by in the past. And this person asked the question, "Are you still apostolic?" Amen. Amen. And I was glad I was able to say, yes, I am. And I can understand that kind of a question because a lot of people are no longer apostolic after they, as Brother Mike was speaking of, after they have made this start but they haven't completed their journey. And the truth of the matter, a lot of people, when we say apostolic, they don't even know what we're talking about. And when they ask you what you are, if you say apostolic, they'll say what? Because that's a strange word to many people. But I'm going to tell you, it should never be strange to the Church of the Living God. Amen. And a lot of people have the sign, they have different groups that call themselves apostolic. But the true people of God are truly apostolic people. And we're not out trying to get people to become apostolics. We're trying to get people to become people of God. But if you do, you'll be apostolic. So, you know, it's... In other words, we had a visitor some time ago, and he was trying to tell everybody, you need to be apostolic, you need to be apostolic. And I understand where he's coming from, but really, we need to be born again of the water and the Spirit. And God will place us in His church, and it'll be done through the teachings of the apostles that were with Jesus, who recorded what we should know, what we should do, and it has been preserved by the hand of God. And in order to be saved, we've got to go ahead and obey what the Word of God teaches us to do. And that can be found in the writings of the apostles, and that makes us all who are saved apostolic. And so I gladly, you know, depending on the situation, many times people say, well, what are you? I love to say I'm apostolic. And that usually brings about another question or two. One is, Appa, what? Or, what is apostolic? And that gives you an opportunity to talk about it. Where, if we, you know, and sometimes this is fitting, but if we say, I'm non-denominational, that's really an answer that should only be used by apostolics rarely. Depending upon the circumstances, because to say I'm non-denominational is to, you might as well say I'm, you know, a lot of other things, because non-denominational fits a whole lot of areas, and people think of non-denominational as this or that, and you can be non-denominational and you can be a Trinitarian. Oh, I know, I just ruffled some feathers. Somebody out there just loved me till just now because they all of a sudden decided, here's a preacher up there denying the Trinity. Amen. But I'm apostolic, and the apostolics have no argument with the Trinity because it doesn't exist. Hallelujah. So how do you argue with something that's not there? But I'm not going to get off on that right now. But people often come into our room and heard, you know, and they say things like, I heard you don't believe in the Trinity. But my answer is always, I believe in the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And for the sincere people, that's a good answer because they say, well, oh, I feel better now. Because many people believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They just don't have a good understanding because of traditional suggestions concerning God that have been taught by carnal minds rather than spiritual enlightenment and the revealed Word of God. But the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The apostles were with Jesus. Matthew was with Jesus. And Matthew became an apostle. But before Jesus went away, he gave instructions to his disciples. And later, Matthew recorded the words. But Jesus gave instructions to go into all the world and teach this precious, precious gospel to all people. baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And on the day of Pentecost, Matthew was one of those people in that upper room, in one accord, in one mind, when the Holy Ghost had fallen upon all the people. Matthew was a speaking in tongues, tongue talker. And he was there. They all were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Peter was a tongue talker, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was in that room, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. And that was the birth of the Apostolic Church. The Apostolic Church was not something that started at the turn of the century in the United States of America. It didn't start at Azusa Street. In fact, the Azusa Street revival that everybody tries to talk about many times actually was a move of God, seemingly, but it was a move of God with a lack of truth. And so not that God lacked truth, but that people lacked understanding. And from that, there was a turning back toward truth by many sincere hearts that had been blessed of God. And there were many sincere people who started seeking for more light in the Word of God. And so back in the early part of the 20th century, many discovered that there is something to this Jesus name baptism. There is something to this one God in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. And it became a strong move, such a strong move that many decided that this is the last day revival. That this is the prophecy being fulfilled of God pouring out His Spirit upon all the flesh in the last days. But the truth of the matter, that happened 2,000 years ago, and we're still in those last days. The last day revival started when the Holy Ghost fell on 120 people, and the same day was added to the church, the Apostolic Church, 3,000 souls. Repenting of their sins, being baptized in Jesus' name, receiving the Holy Ghost. And Peter and Matthew were in one mind and one accord when the answer was given, or the question was given. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Acts the second chapter, verse 37. Men and brethren, what shall we do? And they were asking this question, the men and brethren they were asking with Matthew and Peter. Matthew, who later wrote Matthew 28:19. And I believe the answer that Peter gave was not a mistake. And I have reason to believe that. For one thing, what Peter said on the day of Pentecost had to be exactly what Matthew believed, or Matthew would have called his hand. Amen. Because those Jews stood together in one mind and one accord, backing every word that Peter spoke. And after all, Jesus had said to Peter, I give you the keys to the kingdom. I give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And so this man, Simon Peter, was answering the question of the multitude. And he was not alone in answering, but he and 119 other people standing with him were answering their question. Amen. It was not a divided apostolic church. It was a one mind and one accord church. Men and brethren, what shall we do? The answer was not a compromise answer. It was not a I'm not sure answer. It was an absolute confident answer that the answer that Jesus commands is that you repent of your sins. Everybody say repent.
Repent.
And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And there's where the great separation line is between what many people call the Christian church and then the little group that often is looked down upon known as the one God, Jesus name, apostolics. People don't have too much trouble with us anymore concerning the speaking in tongues. Because a lot of people are getting in on speaking in tongues, whether it be real or not real. And I do believe, as Brother Mike said, many times it is real that people do drift away because they get away from leaning to the Spirit and they lean to their own understanding and they walk away and don't complete the journey. However, I see evidence and I see fruit that many who claim to speak in tongues are living like the devil and claiming to be saved. And that often, you know, reveals the fact that there is a tongue that's not real, that's counterfeit, that's not God. We want the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. There are a lot of folks that will teach you to say Jesus real fast over and over, or hallelujah real fast over and over. They'll tickle your chin, they'll shake you. One lady wrote me this week asking me, had I ever heard of people being shaken at the altar? She was a new convert. And she said she was really sincerely seeking for God, and God filled her with the Holy Ghost. But she had been real concerned because some hands were on her, shaking her real hard when she received the Holy Ghost. And she said, I did receive it, but this has been a problem with me because it's bothered me. Is this something that's biblical? And I said, absolutely not. I said, people get overzealous sometimes, not according to knowledge, having zeal not according to knowledge, and they'll try to make you receive the Holy Ghost, or shake you, or move you, or tickle your chin, or push you around a little bit, or rub you, and I've seen this all my life. But there is a genuine experience. It does not require anybody to do any physical thing. And there's examples in the book of Acts where there was the laying on of hands and received the Holy Ghost. There are also examples in the book of Acts where they received the Holy Ghost with no laying on of hands. There's examples in the book of Acts where people received the Holy Ghost and then they were baptized in Jesus' name. There's also examples in the book of Acts where people were baptized in Jesus' name, then they received the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. But one thing in common that they had is when they received it and they spoke with other tongues, as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. And there are some scriptures where that part of it is not mentioned, but the fact that there are scriptures where that is mentioned means that you need to also realize that the scriptures where it's not mentioned does not take away the fact that the scriptures that do mention it say that it is something that accompanies the Holy Ghost. Especially in the beginning when the Holy Ghost fell upon all of them and they all began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Acts 19, those 12 people listening to Paul, they received the Holy Ghost and spoke in other tongues. Right. Amen. Because they were believers, and Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, we haven't so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. How then were you baptized? Under John's baptism. And then he talked to them about how John the Baptist baptized, pointing people to the one that should come after him, and how that they should be baptized in the name of Jesus. Amen. And how that they should be filled with the Holy Ghost. He talked to them just a little short lesson on what this is all about. And then they were persuaded. And he took them into the water, baptized them in Jesus' name, laid hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost, spoke in other tongues. There were no people of foreign languages there for them to speak to. This was the Holy Ghost coming into their lives and the Spirit of God prompting them to speak in other tongues. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there's no reason for anybody to try to explain it away or argue against it or try to find any other way. This is apostolic.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Because the apostles taught it, demonstrated it, lived it, were part of it, and they were with Christ, and Christ became one not just with them, but in them. And now today, it's possible to have Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. Christ, Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory. That is the Spirit of the Father. That is the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Ghost, that is Jesus Christ coming into our lives. When we have Jesus in us, we have the Father in us, we have the Son in us, we have the Holy Ghost in us. And when we get to heaven, we're only going to see one God, and His name will be Jesus. Let's praise Him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. People need to be reminded of these things sometimes. Are you still apostolic? Amen. I don't want to live a life and be exposed on the internet and on other forms of media and have people watching my life and our lives and listening to what we have to say, and then have the question, are we apostolic? I don't want to do anything that would cause them not to believe that we're apostolic. And I don't want to not do anything that would cause them to have any doubt about the fact we're apostolic. I want to be a part of God's move. Amen. I want to be part of the move of God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not talking about an organization. I'm not talking about a denomination. I'm talking about what every Christian effort, no matter what you call yourself, what every Christian effort is trying to become. Everybody knows, if you know anything about the Bible, the Word of God, that in order to be a true Christian, you have to be apostolic. Whether you're Baptist, Methodist, Episcopal, Catholic, only those who follow the teachings of the apostles of our Lord can only really say that we're following God. And that's apostolic. Hallelujah. I'm closing, trying to be through in 5 minutes. An old film that I have had for years, and I've been gathering these old films. I'm working on, I'm compiling a lot of things for a website that's going to probably take me 3 months to get it all together from this point forward. I've been working on it for several months. But a lot of the old paths, old memories, things, pictures and movies and things from back in the 40s and 50s. And I've got quite an accumulation, but I don't have all my stuff. But I was able to view what I do have that I thought I had lost. And the main part that I thought I had, I don't have. And I thought, then I decided my sister has it. Well, she thought I had it. And my mother thought either I or my sister had it. Now we've decided my mother probably has it.
It was first.
Yeah, we don't know really where it is. We just know it's somewhere in the family. And my sister's moved, and my mother's moved. And it may be in a drawer, and it may be in a box. And I'm trying to get my hands on it, but it'd be very interesting, an old video from the past. And but anyway, I bought a little gadget from eBay a few days ago, and I was able to look at some of this old video that I haven't seen in 40 years or more. Amen. Old film. And I found my dad and mom on there when they were in their 20s. You know, embracing some preachers and welcoming them, you know. I could tell some old visiting minister and evangelist or somebody, and they were glad to see them. This big old smile on this young couple, little red-headed lady, and I was probably only about 7 years old at the time, and they were so happy, you know, in the work of God, and see them walk out there and embrace them and welcome them to what was going on. And then as I kept watching, I saw this old gentleman walking across a field with a walking cane, and I recognized him as my grandpa. Yeah, John W. Rooks. That old walking stick. I looked at that walking stick, and I recognized that walking stick. I've seen it many times when he sat on his chair with his hand, his finger in his Bible, and that walking cane, and every once in a while he'd take that stick, and he'd tap it against the floor, and he'd go, I see something. And he'd open that Bible up, and he'd say, And that old walking cane, boom, boom, boom. That means everybody, take note, I've got something here to share. And I hear him say, Hallelujah! I'm going to tell you, that man was apostolic. I was 8 years of age when he would hit that old cane against the floor. He was 84 and he was still saying, I'm excited about the Word of God! Hallelujah! They had an old black guitar in the family, and I was reminded of that, and I had it in my hands a few times. But that old guitar had traveled with their family of 12 children, my mother one of them, and they had traveled all over Arkansas and Missouri and Oklahoma. No churches to go to, just the call of God on their lives, with an old vehicle. At first, it was just an old wagon, you know, and horses, but then it became an old vehicle that somebody sold them, that they were able to get from somebody for, I think it was 16 dozen eggs they bought it for. And And they had a chicken coop on the back of it. And I remember the vehicle. When I was a child, when I was just 5 and 6, I saw the vehicle. And I saw my granddad driving it in a place called Sulphur Rock, Arkansas. And we were standing around watching them as they drove down this gravel road. And I asked, what is that thing on the back? And it was a chicken coop. He had a car with a chicken coop on the back of it. And why did he have a chicken coop? Because when they would go with those 12 children to go preach somewhere, they'd have kids like the Clampett family, riding on the fenders, riding on the chicken coop, and riding wherever they could find a place to ride in that old car. They would pull up to a community, and they would just pull up there because they felt like God sent us to this place. There was nobody there that they knew. There was no church that had invited them to come and preach. There was no guarantee of anything. It's just the will of God. Amen. He would get out with that old walking stick. My grandma would get out of the car with that old black guitar. And they would just stand up on the side of the road in the middle of town. She'd start thumping on that guitar. And he'd start tapping that old walking stick. And after a while, he'd say, "Hallelujah. Come over here. We want to tell you how to find God." And pretty soon they'd have an audience. Under an old shade tree. Next to a light pole, next to a hitching pole, and just anywhere they could find somebody to listen. And he would tell them, "You need to repent of your sins, be baptized in Jesus' name, and God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, you will speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance." Hallelujah. And I remember years ago in my early ministry, I walked around with an old black guitar saying, "If this guitar could talk, amen." And I talked about where all it had been that I knew about. And I talked about the time my granddad took that family and in the middle of the night, God had awakened him and told him to take his family and go to a place. And he didn't tell him where the place was, just told him to drive and he would know when he gets there. And he said, "You will see a man coming out of a field with a chopping axe on his shoulder." And he said, "That will be the place where I want to harvest some souls. And I want you to start a revival in that spot." Well, he woke all the children up. And my granddad got them all in that old vehicle. And they had booted tires, if you know what that is. Baling wire and boots, old pieces of rubber. And the car didn't roll. It walked. It just literally walked. And bounced, and they went, and they rode, and they went for miles and miles through the Ozarks. And the family was hungry, and they wondered, "What are we going to do? Where are we going?" And as they coasted down a hill, and they started up another hill, suddenly the motor went boom, you know, and then there was steam, and the car just stopped in the road. And they said, "What are we going to do?" And my granddad turned around to everybody and said, "It's no problem. This is the exact spot where God showed me He wanted me to be." And he said, "Now you watch, children. Off in that field, there'll come a man in a minute with his chopping axe on his shoulder." I'm talking about apostolic tonight, folks. This is my heritage. This is where I'm coming from. And this is why I know this is real, because I've had some similar experiences in my own life. He said, "You watch." And his children, his own wife, thought he'd go nuts. But he said, "I know what I'm talking about because I've been with God." And he said, "This is the spot, and it's okay that the car's not going to run because we don't have to go any further. God's going to give us a revival and going to bring a large harvest of souls to God right here in this spot." There were no houses, no trees, no power lines. Well, there are a lot of trees, but no power lines. No houses, no poles for power lines. Just out in the woods in a gravel road in a broken down car. He's all excited saying, "Watch, you just watch over that hill right there. Here he comes." And there he was. Suddenly there appeared a man out there with a chopping axe on his shoulder, walking down a hill across that field. My granddad went walking toward that man with his walking stick, the same one I saw in that film this week that got me all inspired. Walking across that field with that walking cane. He walked with a certain limp and just hitting the ground with that walking cane, just walking real fast, they said. And said the man stopped on the hill, looked at him, held the chopping axe up real high. Said my granddad stopped, held his walking cane up real high and yelled, "Hallelujah!" And the man with the chopping axe said, "Praise the Lord!" He threw down his walking stick,
The other man threw down his chopping axe and they ran and embraced out in the middle of the field. And God brought over 100 souls to the Lord and they spoke in tongues and were baptized in Jesus' name right out in the middle of those woods. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Are you still apostolic? I hope so. I want to be where God wants me to be. I want to do what God wants me to do. I don't want to veer to the left or to the right. I want to be in tune so that I can say, here it comes. This is what God said. This is where God sent us. This is what God is doing right now. Let's praise Him some more. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Lord, help us to do your will. Help us to see your work accomplished in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I see a great harvest of souls coming to Norwich, Connecticut. I have explored all possibilities. I've looked to the north, to the south. I've asked God, is this where you want me to be? I know He told me to be here. I know He sent me here. I know He's kept me here. But when you look around and I see things that are not exactly as I wished they were in some areas, not everything. I mean, generally speaking, I'm very, very happy. But a preacher that becomes content is useless. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm not content any more than I was content when I knew how to play two notes on the trumpet. I wanted to learn more. Amen. And I'm not content when I see so many people all around us, multitudes, on our way to hell, when we're right here with the answer they're needing. Hallelujah. We're right here with the answer they're needing. And we've got the power of God, and there's nothing to stop us. And I said, God, what do you want me to do? You want me to go here? You want me to go there? There are a lot of things, a lot of options open. And all God has showed me, I have a field that's ready to harvest right where you stand. Stand still and see the salvation of God. And I am ready to rededicate my life. Amen. And retarget everything to where I know God wants us. I feel like my granddad out in that old jalopy looking toward that hill, that guy with that chopping axe. Hey, children, look! This is the place where God wants us to be! It's okay if your car's broke down because we don't have to go anywhere. It's okay if your house is falling apart. God will supply you need. He has a harvest of souls that He wants to save right here where we are. Let's praise Him again. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I want you to close it, Brother Joe. Come on up. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go harvesting. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. You shall reap, you faint not. Amen. Lord, we thank you tonight. Thank you for the word of the living God. Thank you for the will of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you tonight. Thank you tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here we are, Lord. Your will be done. Here we are. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.